welcome to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. I'm your host, Becky Davidson. Thank you so much for joining us for this week's episode. Now, before we get started with our guests for this week, I want to make sure that all of the dads out there know about our upcoming event for special needs dads called Extraordinary Legacy. This is going to be a one-night online event that's going to be held Friday, November 20th, starting at 7 p.m. Central. You're going to get to hear from special needs dads from all across the country, and you're going to be entertained by comedian and fellow special needs dad, Jarrell Roach. And we at Rising Above, we are so excited about this event, and we're so thankful that we're able to offer this event to you dads for free. All you've got to do is sign up. So go to our website, risingaboveministries.org, and you'll find all the information that you need when you get signed up. So, okay, today in this week's episode, our friends Dawn Fry and Lori Chapman are back with us. And, you know, it's always such a great conversation when they join me on the podcast, and this episode is no different. Today, we're going to be talking about transition. Specifically, we're going to be looking at how our children transition into adulthood. And all three of us, Dawn, Lori, and myself, we all have children with special needs who are now 18 years old or older, and we've all been through the conservatorship process. And I remember when my son, John Alex, who's now 23, was much younger, and I first heard about conservatorships, and I learned that it was something that we would have to look at when he got older. And at the time, it seemed so overwhelming. But now all three of us are on the other side, and so we're so happy to be able to share our experiences to help other parents who are just now beginning to think about that process. And you know, we had so much to talk about that we decided to break this conversation into two episodes. So they're going to be back in November to continue the conversation. So have a listen as Dawn and Lori and myself have a conversation about transitioning into adulthood. Okay, hello, Dawn and Lori. Thank you guys for coming back to the podcast. We told everybody last month that you were going to be monthly guests on the Rising Above podcast, and so we're glad you're here.
Thank you for having us. Yay. We're excited.
Glad to be here.
Oh my goodness, this is going to be fun. Okay, so each time you're here, we're going to have a different topic. Something that we're going to talk about related to our life as special needs parents. So today, we're going to talk about transition. In that, okay. You know, transition, because that is where we all are in our life. Actually, I'm a little further down the path.
Sure.
Because John Alex just turned 23. Yes, I'm still waiting for my tiara that we talked about last time, because I'm the queen mom of
I totally meant to bring one next time. Oopsie.
Yep. So, but we're in this, you know, like I said, I'm a couple of years ahead. You guys both have kiddos who just turned 18.
Yes.
And it is a whole new ballgame. You know, I remember when John Alex was... Probably, Dawn, when do you usually start talking about transition? Like, you know, the transition plan and all that?
Yeah, usually about ninth grade.
Okay.
When they're just heading into kindergarten, you start kind of looking at transition.
Heading into kindergarten?
Oh, hello. That would be heading into high school. Let's just go ahead and plan for transition from kindergarten. Sorry. Lost my mind.
That's so funny. Oh, so yeah, so high school. But I remember that, gosh, wouldn't that be something to be start talking about transition when they just start in kindergarten?
Yeah,
my word. You know, but I was thinking about that. Yeah, they talk about that, you know, transition plan. What's your transition plan? And I'm like, look, we're doing good just making it to high school.
Right. Well, I remember it being a little overwhelming in eighth grade, like the eighth grade IEP meeting. I think at the beginning of the school year that year, we weren't even to high school, but it was like, well, in the next one, we'll start talking more vocational. And I'm thinking, what?
Yeah.
No. So... ninth grade, just to reclarify, ninth grade.
And then they start talking about conservatorship and all this stuff. And, you know, it's overwhelming.
It is.
I still feel like I am in that overwhelmed feeling currently.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what, you know, like what in the world does that mean? And what's going to happen when they get out of school?
Absolutely.
And how is life going to look? And so let's talk a little bit today about that process of going through that. Where, you know, where we are now. Again, John Alex has been out of high school for, goodness, 3 years now. And so our program looks a little different. You know, right now everything looks different because nothing's open other than schools, you know, so like, meaning a lot of the day programs and whatnot are not taking place, which John Alex didn't do anyway. But transition, what has that looked like? And now I know Dawn, Austin has gone into the, what's the program called?
Independence program. Yes.
So he's doing that. But even though your kiddos are the same age, your programs are looking different right now.
Well, and we're still in school.
Yeah.
So Austin just graduated, your son.
Right.
So he's out, but Josie is a senior and Emily is a junior. Emily's 17, Josie's 18, Austin
is 18.
Mm-hmm. But already out. So he's a year ahead of us in this transition. Just to clarify.
Right.
So we're still in school.
But Josie's kind of already told you what her plans are, hasn't she?
She has lots of plans.
Yeah, so would she? Yeah, I think she wants to come here and work. Is that one of her plans?
She does. You know, some days
comes to work at Rising Above.
She wants to work at Rising Above. For a long, long time, she wanted to work at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And then a lot of days, she just wants to get married and have a baby.
Aww.
Isn't that so sweet?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's lots of plans there. And
right.
But yeah. But continue on. You know, when she graduates this year, she's pretty much told you, since she said, like, she's done. Like, she doesn't.
Oh, right. I don't. Yeah, and you know, honestly, I just got a call yesterday about her. What it's the program? I think it's the program, the vocational
voc rehab
mm-hmm. called to talk about what paperwork we wanted from them, or if she was staying in school until she was 22, and that was their understanding. And I was like, well, actually, no, we have not said that's what we're going to do, because I know that is a choice that you can make for your kids and transition to stay in the school. I don't know if that's every state or if that's our state that happens.
Well, it's federal law, so it would be
every state if they can stay.
Yeah, if your child does not graduate with a gen ed diploma, they can stay in school till they're 22.
Okay.
But if they graduate with the gen ed diploma, they cannot stay in school till they're 22.
And that's good information to know if you're on the fence about
which way to go. That's right.
What's going to be more beneficial to out of there or to have more extra time.
And technically, Austin is still a Putnam County School student. Because this is a Putnam County School program.
The voc rehab.
No, Independence program.
Oh, you're an independent. Okay, so that's those are different programs.
Yeah, totally different
so
programs.
Let's stop right there, because I think this is something that, I mean, I think we need to kind of backtrack a little because
we're talking about two different.
Well, we're talking about actually several different things, because if you talk about diplomas, you know, Dawn, I know we talked years ago about, you were like, Austin's going to get a gen ed diploma. Austin's going to get a gen ed diploma. And you were fighting and fighting and fighting that this is what he's going to get.
Right.
But then you had a shift.
Yes, I did. Because, you know, to get the gen ed diploma, he would have had to have done all the high school credits, you know, just like any other typical student would have had to have done. And it became obvious to me that the math and the history and the science, none of that stuff was going to benefit him. That's not what he needed. The gen ed diploma was for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I changed, and we are working. He actually graduated with an occupational diploma, which is in Tennessee, you have gen ed diplomas, you have the occupational diploma, then you have your SPED diploma. So he graduated with an occupational diploma, but he is still eligible to continue in a school program until he's 22.
But if you had gone gen ed.
That's right.
When he graduated. That's it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So resources end then. I mean, that's what my understanding is. If you got that gen ed, then some of these more specialized resources, like the Independence program Independence program, he would not be eligible for
and could not do. Yes. Now, I'm not sure about voc rehab. I think that that would still be a possibility for them to do, but it is something to think about, because I know a lot of parents that really push that gen ed diploma and really think about what's best for your child.
Mm-hmm.
What you know, and look at the big picture too.
That's good.
Because sometimes when getting a general education diploma, I think, carries with it certain expectations of what a child is able to do, mm-hmm. right? Because Austin has a twin sister, so she graduated with a gen ed diploma, of course, and now she's at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. But her knowledge and Austin's knowledge would have been vastly different.
Right.
So I think sometimes that can be detrimental to a child, adult, because now they're 18, right? Because there is an expectation from others. They have a gen ed diploma, so they should be able to do this, this, and this.
Right.
And they really can't. And sometimes that keeps you from getting other services later on, too.
Do you remember at what point you decided to switch? Because I remember that conversation. I mean, I remember us talking. It was like, that was so important to you to get a gen ed diploma.
Yes.
And then, was it when you got on the school board? Was it, you know?
No, I think it was just when he went into high school. Because I think, in general, I know that my journey has been, and I know you've shared this before too, but how you feel when they're in kindergarten
absolutely
is vastly different than with each passing year. I think you become more comfortable with where you are, and that does not mean you don't challenge.
Right. Well, I think there's even a shift from, I saw it from elementary to middle, just within mm-hmm. the programs,
oh, yeah.
you know,
yes.
and how IEPs went and the focus and the shift even started there at middle school, and then that last big jump.
I think it's even beyond that, because I remember where I was when John Alex was starting kindergarten. It was like, he's going to be in a regular ed. And I was fighting for him to be in the regular ed, where that was really not what was best for him.
Right.
And when Mildred Burchett came to me, and she was like, laid out a different plan of saying, you know what, if you will allow him to stay in the CDC class, we will be able to set up a program that's going to be best for him. And I had to get away from myself and what I wanted, like you were talking about, you know, like, of course, I want my child to be in regular ed. But that was not what was best for him. And it really, truly, if I'm being honest, he was disruptive. He was, you know, he made his noises. Mm-hmm. And that was hard on those other kids, too. So when I got to go and observe, and when I saw that, I was like, okay, let's do what's best for everybody. And really what's best for John Alex and is to be in a program that's set up and designed for him. But, when we're, like you said, when we're early on, We have all these visions of what we
do, and maybe it's tunnel vision. I don't know. You know, like, this is the goal. Because I'm sitting here listening to you and thinking, I think a lot of that drive too is what we want for our child. But then we also want our child to be known,
absolutely,
to be accepted. We want them in that regular ed. Mm-hmm. You know, we want those friends. But maybe that's not the best path to create those relationships. If, you know, like you were saying, were his noises disruptive? Did that put him at a disadvantage with mm-hmm. typical peers of being able to, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, what they did was they reversed it. And so they would bring his friends. My thing was, I wanted him to be with typical peers. I wanted him to have that experience and for them to have that experience. But they set it up in his CDC classroom.
Perfect.
For him.
Yes.
Where they were coming to him instead of him going in to their classroom, which was better for everybody.
Built better.
But again, that was for my child. That would not have been what was best for Austin, probably.
Right.
Or maybe not for your girls, you know?
Sure.
So.
Right. You have to look at each individual and really look at what your child needs.
Yeah. With the individual, that's why it's individual.
That's right. But it is what your child needs, not what you need. And that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing. Not what you thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, that always comes around, doesn't it?
I mean, come on, all the time.
That just never goes away.
No.
Right.
No.
It comes back. I call that having my special needs moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a mom, you know, when you come up against one of the, I don't know, transitions.
Yeah.
You know,
not milestone.
Even talking about milestone. Yeah. Every milestone that should have been there, you have to grieve.
Yes.
Yes.
I get that.
And you still do. I mean, like, it's even at, like, now, you know, John Alex is 23. Okay, I got married. I was getting married at this age.
Oh, that's right.
You know, like, I got married right after I had turned 23.
Right.
And I think, you know, that's not going to be our life, right. You know? And so you have to kind of process, like, this birthday was hard, and just kind of processing through, wow, you know, we didn't go to college. We're not going to get married. There's not going to be grandchildren. All of that, you know, all that. So every stage, there's always it's easy. Something. I mean, it's not as hard as it was years ago, but it's still.
I agree with that.
There were tears on the birthday. I mean, that's just part of it.
That's part of it. Yes. So,
and maybe tears on the podcast.
And maybe tears on the podcast.
That's how I feel. Just hearing that.
Yeah, it was a transition. It was just another transition. But I mean, when I think about, I was getting married, and yet that's
right.
That's not where we are, and that's okay. I'm glad he's with me. You know, I mean,
right.
I am. But so we talked about then about those two different kinds of diplomas. Are there other kinds? Is it just those two general?
No, there's a third one. Okay, the Fed diploma.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is what I'm sure my girls are getting. Listen to me, like, I don't even know.
Well, I assume that's what John Alex got was a Fed diploma. That was right at the time.
I don't know if the occupational was even available when J.A. was there. It was kind of a new thing.
Well, we kind of missed, that's when Jeff passed away.
Sure.
Right there in that May. So I don't remember. Right. I have a diploma, but I don't know. I mean, you know, but I think it probably was a special, Fed diploma. Okay. Yeah. So there's three. Okay.
Yes.
So then when we're talking about, now this is Cookeville, this is Putnam County.
That's
the
correct.
The programs that we have here, but there's Independence Program. Well, actually, like, they can stay still at the high school in CDC.
That's correct.
Until they're 22. And that's what the phone call at our house was just yesterday. Would she be staying? And I'm like, well, this particular child of mine, young adult, is very socially aware of that she has been a freshman, she has been a sophomore, you know, and seniors graduate and leave. I said, so I don't see her staying. Whereas my 17-year-old loves school and might be like, oh, I get to stay, you know, mm-hmm. I get to be with this group of teachers again, and she might. So it's, I don't even know, it's different with both girls. I don't know what this is about to look like. So Voc Rehab and this Independence Program, are these two educational options, is what you're saying?
Independence Program does continue on with the school, of course. There are qualifications in order to get into the program and different things like that, so I got to say that. But Voc Rehab trains for a job. Yes, so they are focused on finding a job.
And Lori is taking notes over here. Let me just say.
Because I told you, I am in the middle of this feeling a little like, just on these practical educational levels.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say educational, but what would be the word? Job opportunities, mm-hmm. training.
What her future is.
Right.
Yes.
You know, and it is interesting because I think what makes this dynamic of the three of us so interesting and unique is that our kids are so different.
Yes.
You know, I have John Alex with his profound special needs. So for me, it was a no-brainer. You know, I don't have to look at Independence Program or Voc Rehab because those are really not viable options for him. In fact, we pulled him out of school early. He didn't stay till he was 22 with all that was going on with his dad and everything. And so, you know, my story was a little bit different in that respect, where you guys have actually, Mama's kind of decision was kind of already made as to what other, it was either come on out of school,
right,
or continue in special ed those last few years. And so, but you guys have some real decisions to make. You know, you knew the Independence Program. What does that Independence Program look like?
They work on living skills. So he will, he goes to a couple of different jobs where he has a job coach that goes with him. They work on cooking once a week. One student cooks for the entire class. They work on budgeting. They work on money.
Now, and money's tough for him, isn't it?
Money's very tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. He knows that, he knows what money is for, and he knows it buys things, but he doesn't, I mean, he could get, you know, money in a card, and if he opens the card and the money hits the floor, it'll just lay there. He won't you know, and he'll
read
the card.
It really doesn't have meaning to him.
Not like his sister who takes the money and throws the card on the floor.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which, you know, that's the difference there. So they work on, but they also go into a couple of tech classes, which have been the PE classes.
Like so Tennessee college.
It's on
here.
Tennessee Tech's campus. Yes. So
college level.
That's right. So he goes into the swimming class, or he's been into, I think yesterday he did tennis. So they get involved with a couple of, you know, several different classes there.
Kind of like an audit, like he's
like
auditing.
An audit. Oh yes, he's auditing. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
so
neat.
Yeah. So for him, he was going to college because his sister went to college.
Yeah.
So he is a Tennessee Tech student as far as he's
concerned. As far as he's concerned.
Yes. I love that.
Yes,
and
I do
aren't
too.
We blessed? I mean, because in our county we have this
we have that.
And
yeah. Yes.
They. Yeah, that's good. That's
yes.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's something to really, because I've talked to several parents just in the past month or so that are now right at this graduation time or right at it, mm-hmm. right? And wondering what's next. But really, it's a good idea to go ahead and start just finding out what's out mm-hmm. there. You know, when they're sophomores or juniors, and just start looking like, what is, like voc rehab, you have to make a referral to them. And then they have to do an evaluation, which takes time. So it might not be a bad idea to go ahead, even for you, to do a referral to voc rehab and let them go ahead and do the evaluation on her and just see, okay, you know, this, because they do an evaluation and they decide this is what your strengths are, your weaknesses are, and all that stuff. But then maybe they can tell you, okay, this is what we think we would have for her. And then you'll know exactly what that day looks like, right? So when the day comes,
I wish you could see her face. Lori's like, ah.
And when the day yes. comes, then you'll have a better idea.
Right.
Right? And then planning ahead for, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Planning ahead, is your child going to need a conservatorship?
Yeah.
Which means once they turn 18, they're adults, and then they can make all their decisions for themselves. They can sign contracts. They can get
buy
married,
a car.
They can buy a car.
Yeah.
You know, they can do all that stuff, and they might not have a clue what they've just done.
Mm-hmm.
So we've kind of just left, like your school educational things, and we're moving to more legal.
Well, I'm
things.
Sorry, I did jump, didn't
no, I?
I
like that though.
I'm all
good.
Over the place.
No,
cool.
That's actually
you
a.
Gotta, you got to keep me focused.
It.
Yeah.
Yes. So those were some, yeah, some educational options. And if you don't live in Putnam County, you'll want to check with your school system. What does it look like for my student mm-hmm. who is going to get an occupational diploma or a SPED diploma?
And hopefully,
what does that
in
look
these
like?
IEPs for 9th, 10th, 11th grade, for anybody listening whose kids are there, you're already
yeah.
receiving
some information. Right. You're talking about it, but it never hurts to ask, because
I think that's true.
Sometimes things, and it's not that, or they don't know about it. I have found there are some programs out there that it doesn't seem like anybody's talking about, mm-hmm. and you just happen upon them.
Well, that's
like,
what
why
happened.
Didn't somebody tell me that?
That's what happened with us in the waiver that John Alex is on.
Right.
You know, that was one of those things that came up when we decided to pull him out of school because he was having seizures, and that actually was exactly what we were supposed to do, because his dad passed away just a couple of months mm-hmm. later.
Sure.
But when we pulled him out, we found about this waiver that he is now on that pays for his caregivers who are with him now.
Yeah.
And so, but I had no clue. I had it was just, you know, finding those resources and finding out what's available in your area, it can be tricky. And knowing where to go and look for that. But, I think you don't want to, you know, when your kids are going into high school, I remember when John Alex was going into high school, that was such a huge transition, because he had been in the same school literally from kindergarten all the way through middle school. We were moving now to this, you know, in our county,
it's
our high school
enormous
is huge. Huge. I was freaking out the thought of my little guy going into this. And so then starting to about transitioning into adulthood, it's like, okay, that is too much for my little brain
yeah.
to compute. So, but I think something that was so helpful for me was somebody had told me, and I don't know if it was you or I heard it somewhere.
But if it was good, it was probably me.
I'm sure if it was good, it was probably you.
If it was helpful, it was me. If it was wrong, it was Laura.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
There you go.
There's probably a lot of truth to that. Smarty pants.
Smarty. But I remember hearing about conservatorship. You know, that's just something you don't think about.
Right.
Like, what do you mean I have to deem my child incompetent? What?
Because a lot of parents just assume, well, I'm his mama. I have been his mama, and I'm just going to continue to be his mama. And they don't get that once he turns 18, doctors may stop talking
exactly.
to you. Because they're supposed to. I mean, that's what happened with my typical Sydney. You know, she wasn't 18 for a month, and then she has this, you know,
injury,
slight accident on a rope swing, nothing major. But I mean, suddenly I'm sitting in the parking lot of Cookeville Regional mm-hmm. because she's in the ER and I can't come in because of COVID and I have no idea what's going on. But if it had been my Austin, he has a conservatorship.
Mm-hmm. And you could have gone.
So I would have been able to go in because I'm his conservator. Right. If I didn't have it, I wouldn't have been able to. Well, and then somebody would have died.
Yeah, because you were
in the ER, but that's okay. That's another story.
You've been like,
I'm
coming in. But and I think it's something that I didn't know. I think this is something else that's important to talk about when you're looking at that transition, is that there are different levels of conservatorship as well. It's not just a blanket. No,
right.
You know, it's like for us, we're at the highest level. I'm assuming my attorney across the table over here who did my conservatorship.
Yes.
You know, but we heard you. It's just like I'm thinking, I've never been to court in my life for anything. And then it's like I'm going to court and I'm having to go stand before a judge. And, you know, you just don't know what to expect. But thankfully, Dawn Fry was my attorney, our attorney, and walked us all the way through that, walked you through that. But Dawn, talk a little bit about those different levels of conservatorship, and then kind of how soon do you start that process? How far out do you need to start that? Thankfully, John Alex was going to a new doctor, and now we're doing telemed, which is great. But I needed to call and ask a question. Well, they wouldn't talk to me until they went in. You know, I had sent in all his paperwork, and you know, now I sent in the conservatorship letter with it right away. So they saw that and would talk to me, but they wouldn't immediately. You know, they had to go look and see that.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about, first of all, how far out would a parent need to start looking at, okay, I need to find an attorney. You have to have an attorney to do this, correct?
Yeah. I'm sure you could attempt it pro se, but I would not, which means you represent yourself.
I was getting ready to say pro se.
But I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Just let an attorney do it. And I have heard about other states where it takes forever. So you would definitely want to check. But I can tell you, in Tennessee, I mean, I can have, if you came to me, and you can't do it until they turn 18. Mm-hmm. But if you came to me like a month before they were going to turn 18, we'd have all the paperwork ready. I could already have the petition ready to file with the court the day they turn 18 and then have the very next court date ready to go, right? So it could be, I can do it very quickly. Now, some are going to be more complicated, but if it's just, you know, parental conservatorship, parents going to be conservator, it's not that difficult. But go ahead and be talking to an attorney a month or two ahead of time, just so you know, this is what I'm going to need, and this is, because you do have to have that physician's statement.
Right. So kind of walk through that, because I think people don't know, like, what do I even need to, you know, need to
so
be doing?
So this is Tennessee law. So I'm not speaking for any other state but Tennessee, but I have to file a petition, which just has all statistics.
And that means you, as my attorney, are going to file a petition.
Right. That's great. Yeah. I'm going to file a petition on your behalf, right? And it's just got a bunch of statistical information and why he needs a conservator, and we're asking who to be the conservator, et cetera. And then I have to file with that a physician's affidavit, which is just your doctor saying, yes, John Alex needs a conservator because, and I agree from a medical standpoint that he does need one, right? And then I have to file an accounting, which just means we have to account for all of, I'm just using John Alex as an example, all of John Alex's assets, anything he owns or any money that he gets.
Put a note there to go. Yeah. Hold that thought.
And we have to account for all of his assets and then for all of his expenses, right? And for most of the conservatorships that I do, because I'm doing them for our special needs families who are just turning 18, they don't have any assets. They don't own a house or nothing like that. They don't have huge income.
That would be more like if somebody who's elderly, who maybe comes in incapacitated and able to make decisions, you know, dementia
or
whatever.
And that's really what the statute is aimed for, because when you ask a doctor, are they incompetent? And then I do an accounting. That's for our special needs kiddos, but that's also for grandma, who you're wanting to get a conservatorship for. And we just want to make sure, the law wants to make sure grandma really needs a conservator, or are you just trying to say that because grandma's got money,
right?
So that's what we're trying to protect. So we file all of those things, and in a pre-COVID and hopefully in a post-COVID world, we would just make one appearance in court in front of the judge. You would just, you know, attest to everything that I have put in that petition, and it'd be done. Now, in the petition, there's two different kinds of conservatorships. You can be over their finances or over their person or both, right? So you could be a decision maker over their finances. So you do all their money, take care of all their money, or over their person, which means you make decisions for their person, like medical decisions, where they live, that kind of thing. And most that I do for our families are both, right?
We so make like decisions what I have for, is both.
That's right. Now, some of the things, because you can take away any and all rights, but some of the things that I really think about with and talk to families about is the right to vote. I can remove it or I don't have to. The right to get married. Wait, there's a third one. I've just lost my train of thought.
I'm trying to think because I remember.
I've lost my mind.
No, there's three, because I'm trying to think. Okay. Right to vote, right to get married. And then...
driver's license.
Yes.
The right to have a driver's license. Sorry. The right to have a driver's license. So for my Austin, I did not take the right to vote because he's already voted. He was so excited about voting. And quite frankly, he can make a decision just as well as anybody else in this country, as far as I'm concerned. So vote, and I did not take his right to get a driver's license. He doesn't have one. I don't know if he ever will, but he can do that. I did take the right to get married because I did not want someone taking advantage of him.
Yeah.
Now, if he meets somebody and it's all, I don't know, whatever might happen, I can just go back to the court and petition them to give that back to him. Yeah, and he can, and we can do that.
Yeah.
So it's not... You know, it's not a big, huge, done deal. But some attorneys don't even talk about it. They just take all the rights. So if you're talking to an attorney, discuss what rights, you know. And as a conservator, they still let the child make all the decisions they can.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I've met conservators that go over the top. They decide what they're going to wear, what they're going to eat, what kind of toothpaste they're going to have. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
Still let them make all the decisions that they can. And even if, as long as it's not going to put them into some big, huge detriment, let them make a mistake.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, not one that we can't ever dig ourselves out of, but you know, they have money and they decide they want to spend it all on one thing. All right, let's have at it. But then the next time they want to buy something and they don't have any money, right? I mean,
it's
a lesson learned. Right. You know, we have to save our money. And that's going to depend on the child and all of that.
Right.
But, so I think I covered everything
that
you said.
Yeah, I think that's, ours is straight across the board because John Alex needed that. I don't know what you ended up with, Josie.
Right, we've done her conservatorship at this point, and it was a hard conversation when we sat to talk about those rights.
Yeah,
you know, like I hadn't thought about them, but we came, you know, we were able to decide what was best and have that set up.
Yeah,
so
yeah, and we can always petition to give back something. We took.
Right,
and
that's what I liked.
Now, did you have to go to court? I knew it was COVID, so I don't know.
COVID, and
you did not have to go to. Okay, so Jeff and I went to court that morning. And I remember just feeling so, you know, it's a really bizarre feeling because you're going in there. Now, thankfully, we live in small town. Everybody knows everybody. The judge knew us.
Yes.
You know, and so we're standing before the judge. We're being sworn in. We promised to tell the truth, all, you know, all of that. And he was very kind because we didn't, you know, hearing someone talk about, you know, even you were had to read the facts about John Alex.
That's correct. Yeah.
You know, and so hearing that read in court in front of all these people, I have to admit, I mean, that was really, it was hard.
It was another one of those.
It was another
moments.
One of those moments.
Yes.
But I was there with my friend. I was there with Jeff, you know, and but the judge was so kind because he was like, I know this story. I know this family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he agreed and we were walked out the door. But I remember walking out of court just kind of like, it was just a strange feeling. But then that night, Jeff wrote a blog called We Took a Vow or We Made a Vow. And it was talking about, you know, when we got married, we stood before God. We made a vow to each other that we would be married, better for worse, sickness and health, all of that. And so that day, you know, when we had John Alex, when he was a little guy, of course, we promised to take care of him. But it was like at that moment, it was like, okay, we're agreeing. No, we're making a vow with you, John Alex, that we will always, always take care of you. And so it was kind of almost like we had a shift in perspective of going, no, this is our honor. This is our honor to get.
Sure.
To continue caring
for
you. And
I have had, because you talked about having to read, you know, the facts in the petition. I have had petitions before where the reasons they needed, some of the reasons that they needed a conserver were not something that we really wanted to say out loud. It's just, it was too much.
Yeah.
And I have asked to do it in chambers, which is the judge's office.
Oh, gotcha.
Right. So if it is something that you should talk to your attorney about that. If you know that that's just going to be a moment that is just too much for you.
Yeah.
This particular adult had some behaviors that we didn't want to say out loud. Right.
Because it's open court. I mean,
yes. And he was in court. The adult, the child was in court with us because I wanted the judge to meet him and all that stuff. But I didn't want to say those things about him in front of other people.
Right.
Yes.
In front of other people. So we did it in the back, away from
everybody
from
else.
The audience.
Yeah.
So
you made it very painless for us. I mean, seriously. No, I mean, I think that was, it was.
And that's something that I think it's sometimes attorneys forget because it ain't nothing for me to walk up there and say all those. I mean, you know, I don't mind that at all. But it's sometimes we forget that it's still hard on our families.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I have heard of some families who getting the conservatorship has been such a challenge and just going through that whole problem, meaning like the county that they live in makes it very,
very difficult.
And so explain, and I'm not going to get the term right because we did not have to have one, but what is it called?
A guardian ad litem.
Thank you. Explain what that is and why some people need that and why some people don't.
So Tennessee statute, again, this is Tennessee, all right, says that there may be a guardian ad litem, and that's another attorney that's appointed to be a neutral party. They talk to parents. They meet child, and I keep saying child even though I realize they're adults now, but they talk to child, and then they make their opinion, give their opinion to the court, should this person get a conservator or should this person not. But the statute also allows to waive a guardian ad litem if it's in the best interest of the child. So for most of my conservatorship cases where I have, and I know the families personally, most of them, and I know that we have a child that truly does need that conservatorship, mm-hmm. then I always ask to waive it because there's no reason for a family to pay a guardian ad litem to tell me something we already
know.
Right. But if it's a borderline case or there might be a question mm-hmm. as to do they need a conservatorship, do they not, I would ask for the mm-hmm. guardian ad litem.
Yeah.
Or if it was grandma, we'd get a guardian ad litem for sure.
Just to make sure. Yes. So when people hear that term, if somebody were to ask if that's a conversation, just to know in advance what that what that looks like. Now, something that we touched on, we asked Lori to take notes because we...
I believe you guys were headed towards a special needs trust.
Well,
we were
actually, money. Because we've had this conversation. You and I have had this conversation here recently, Dawn, about another family.
Yes.
And about, you know, when our kids turn 18, the amount of money that they can have if they go on disability and all that.
Yes.
So let's backtrack to when our kids are little.
Yes.
When they're first born and grandma and grandpa want to set up a savings account for them.
Right.
Or we think it's going to be a great idea to put funds into a college fund or into a, you know, we start a savings account in our child's name.
Right.
Is that wise or is that not wise, Dawn, the attorney at law?
I don't think it is wise. It is something to really think about because I had a family that, I mean, and it sounds just like what you should do, you know.
Of course.
Kids get Christmas money, birthday money, and they put all that into an account in child's name. And then child turns 18 and you apply for Social Security disability and child has more than $2,000 in that account. You won't be able to receive Social Security if you have more than $2,000 in a bank account. And then you have to spend
in that
down.
Child's name.
In that child's
security
name.
Number.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, yeah. Right. If it belongs to the child. Mm-hmm. So it's something to think about early. Now if you're listening to this and you've already done it, listen, no worries. Just start taking that money, spending it on things for the child, but you need to spend it, or you could put it into an ABLE account, mm-hmm. which is, go to the website ABLE Tennessee, you know, you can set up an ABLE account for them, and that can be in the child's name. That's probably a whole different conversation.
That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah. But don't put money
in there. Don't have a savings account or checking account in their
name.
It's
all a game. It is absolutely a game and you have to play the game. So you need to set your child up. If you know that you're going to be applying for Social Security disability when they turn 18, when they become an adult.
Which is another conversation.
That's a whole other conversation.
Transition thing. Yeah. You need to set them up as soon as possible to be absolutely asset free. They own nothing. They have nothing. Which sounds terrible, but that's how you play the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it terrible? That you're trying to take the best care of them. So it's not.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah.
It's really not.
So, well, I mean, and we got denied our first time for Social Security. So I hired an attorney to play the game for me because I don't know how to play that game.
You have your line of
I have my line of work. I have what I do. And I don't know how to play the game.
Yeah. Well, and it was like when John Alex turned 16, which I really think this is sweet what they did. But when John Alex turned 16, my in-laws... Every year, they have two other grandsons. There's three grandsons. They bought cars for the grandkids when they turned 16. Well, we couldn't. First of all, John Alex couldn't drive, but they wanted to do that for them, so they got a car. But it's in our, you know, it's not, it's his that he rides in with his caregiver, but it's in my name. You know, it's not his. But because they wanted to treat him the same as they did him, which I'm very grateful for that car, you know, because that's what he rides around with his caregiver. But I think it's all those things you think about. You're like, oh, we don't want them to feel left out. Even that conversation. And again, this is going to have to be a two-parter at another show, because just even things like Lori, you and I have both just gone through estate planning and people not realizing, no, you can't name John Alex in your will.
He'll lose
everything he's got. So I think we're going to, because we're short on time for this episode, I think we're going to have to come back around to this because...
Transitions part two,
because I think there is so much in this conversation. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to wrap this one up.
Sure.
But guys, thank you for having coffee talk with me here. Sitting around the table here talking about these hard life things, but they're important things that we conversations that we have to have. So thank you.
We're gonna have
a turning into an adult part two.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. We would like to thank Jimmy Thorpe and Patrick Mayberry for providing the music for our podcast today. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.